They both know that our country is in deep trouble, and I urge everyone to fervently pray for God's blessings on our country. Let's redouble our efforts to obey His commandments, especially refraining from taking the Lord's name in vain. I invite you to join my email list by visiting my website at freedomabovefortune.com. You can click on mailing list on the left-hand side of the homepage. You can also go to agentfortruth.com for more information about me and my work, and there's also a way to join the email list there at agentfortruth.com. Briefly, for the benefit of new listeners, I'm a former IRS special agent. I worked in the IRS Criminal Investigation Division. I no longer work for the IRS because during the last 2 years of my service there, I performed an off-duty investigation into claims that the income tax laws do not actually require most Americans to file federal income tax returns and pay federal income tax, and that the IRS was actually deceiving the American public about their true income tax obligations. After gathering and analyzing a great deal of documents and evidence, I concluded that these claims about the federal income tax system were largely true. And when I asked my IRS supervisors to discuss my conclusions with me, they not only refused to have any discussions with me, but they also encouraged me to resign from my position at the IRS. So my IRS career came to an end rather abruptly in 1999, when I did in fact resign from the Internal Revenue Service, and I've been speaking about my experiences and conclusions regarding the federal income tax and other constitutional liberty-related matters ever since. I'm featured in a film called America, Freedom to Fascism. The film takes a provocative look at the Federal Reserve and federal income tax systems, and I highly recommend that you watch the film as soon as possible. If you've already watched the film, be sure to recommend it to others. You can type in the words America, Freedom to Fascism into any search engine and watch the movie for free, or you can order copies at freedomtofascism.com, and fascism is F-A-S-C-I-S-M, freedomtofascism.com.
My guest for the first hour is Ed Corcoran. He's the managing editor of Survivalist Magazine. The magazine's motto is Survive Without Fear, which I think is a great motto to have. Ed, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Joe. Glad to be here.
So maybe you could tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and how you came to be the managing editor of Survivalist Magazine.
Okay. Well, I would have to go back several years. My experience in survivalism, per se, has kind of been the extension of a lifelong love of nature, basically. And in my 20s and into my early 30s, you know, I traveled around the country a lot, and you know, just basically had an itinerant lifestyle. I was seeking adventure in various parts of the country, but I spent most of my time in Arizona, in northern Arizona in particular, up on the Mogollon Plateau in Flagstaff in the mountains. And the way I got into the magazine and everything, it started off as a confluence between my awakening and my realization of what on in the world, and also wanting to make a difference. I started off, I wanted to do something in the Patriot community and to help make people aware and wake people up. And through the course of that, I think it was really the film America, Freedom to Fascism, the Aaron Russo film that which you were in, was my first exposure to you. And so I started to set up a website. And I got in contact with George Shepard from Republic Magazine, who publishes Survivalist. And I wanted to do something in that vein. You know, I had a website, and I didn't know what I was doing. And I contacted George and was asking him, like, hey, you think maybe we could you could link to my site? And I didn't know anything about the Internet or anything like that. I lived without the Internet or television for about 10 years. You know, I've lived in the desert for the last 2 years in my stint in Arizona. And he said, well, you know, it's not that simple and everything, but we developed a friendship over a period of time. And at one point, he suggested I do something regarding survivalism, considering that's pretty much my background. And I hadn't really thought about that, but, you know, one of the things that I had thought of, and one of the things that I did want to do, with my website and whatever else that I had in mind at the time, was, you know, I would be listening to all the people out there in the alternative media, you know, like Alex Jones and that type. And I noticed that a lot of people were telling people what the dangers were, but nobody was saying, you know, what to do about it. No one was telling people, like, how to prepare for it. And so I thought it would be a really good idea to have a resource where people can, learn how to do things. Like, a lot of the stuff that I do with survivalists, it isn't all outdoors. It's not, you know, all wilderness survival or bushcraft. It's kind of, we take a comprehensive approach to it. A lot of it has to do with prepping. You know, there's a lot of people out there. I would say, like, you know, 95 to 97% of the population, you know, are not going to be seeking escape into the wilderness, or, you know, if everything goes sideways. There's a large contingency of our readership and our audience, people who are just regular folks. You know, the suburban soccer moms and people like that. And you want to teach them how to store food, how to store water, and all the things they need to do to prepare in case there's some kind of collapse, a grid collapse or a societal collapse, or, you know, economic and whatnot. So I started off by writing a bunch of survival guides, and some of it was wilderness stuff, and some of it was preparedness, and it kind of evolved from there. After George and I set up the membership site, which was called Complete Survivalists at the time, and we had all the downloadable PDF survival guides, and then eventually it kind of transformed into the magazine. And George and I talked about it a lot, and, you know, he's in the magazine business with Republic, and he's got another publication as well, I believe. And so, it was something that I was really inspired by. I was really inspired to do, because there aren't any real survivalist magazines out there that are geared towards the general public. You know, you have your Soldier of Fortune type magazines. It's, you know, a little dark and edgy, and then, you know, you have Backwoods Home, which is a little bit more about self-reliance and about rural living. And I wanted to bring something together that would serve two purposes. It would, first of all, it would be accessible. It wouldn't look all dark and gloomy. I try to avoid doom and gloom. I try to avoid fear-mongering. I don't want to make people afraid. I want to make people empowered, hence our tagline, survive without fear. If you're prepared, then you don't have any reason to fear. And I wanted to empower people and not just, you know, just scare the bejesus out of them. And that goes a lot into the way we design the magazine, the way it's laid out, the look and feel of it. We're available in the mainstream newsstand outlets. We're in Barnes & Noble, and up until recently, Borders, until they went out of business. But we're in Books A Million. We're in on the newsstands in a lot of retail locations. And there's nothing that would please me more than if somebody who's maybe, you know, they get a vague awareness of what's going on. I mean, everybody knows the economy's in shambles. Everybody's concerned about the economic collapse. But, you know, nothing would please me more than to have, you know, like I said before, your average soccer mom, you know, have it catch her eye, have Survivalist Magazine catch her eye, and have her pick it up and get an education, you know, and learn that, yeah, there are, you know, multiple things out there. There are multiple concerns that at any moment, any single one of them, or a confluence, or a combination, rather, of several of these events could take place. And it's not conspiracy theory. It's not far-fetched. I mean, these are all real concerns that you can identify, you can point to. It's in black and white. It's right out there. Unfortunately, a lot of things just go right past most people. So, to make a long story even longer, we put the magazine together, and I'm the de facto editor. I'm the only editor of the magazine right now, and but I just made a lot of contacts with people I know in the survivalist community, and also reached out to a lot of other people who I didn't know, And we're about to release our fourth issue, and it's just been great. I mean, the people that I've met in the survivalist and the preparedness community have really gotten behind it. Everybody's really enthusiastic about it. We had an event in Dallas a couple months ago, a survival and preparedness conference, which I believe this was like the first event of its type. There have been other preparedness conferences, but they've been more like expos where there's more focus on vendors and you know, merchandise and whatnot. This was really, you know, heavy on training, education, and sessions, speakers and whatnot. We had 22 speakers there from all facets of the survival and preparedness community. So it's just been great. The groundswell that's occurred since George and I started putting the magazine together has been incredible.
That's phenomenal. And so the that event went really well. I mean, 22 speakers. That sounds like a pretty big size event.
Yeah, it was. It was the biggest event that I've ever I've ever put together. And it was a great event, and everybody who was there were just happy, just saw grins from ear to ear on all the attendees, and people were really grateful. That was the thing that touched me the most. It's like so many people came up to me to thank me for putting on an event like that, because it is so important that people learn that, you know, at any time, you know, the world can go sideways, and you could find yourself, you know, the world can get turned upside down. And we're not just talking about pole shift, you know. You could wake up tomorrow morning and find out that the supermarket stores are empty, the supermarket shelves are empty, rather. And it's really important to get this information out there, and people are really grateful for it, and they really respond to it.
Well, and I know that there's a... Certainly, it seems like some factions of the dominant media will, you know, ridicule basically the concept of preparedness or survival, and you know, of course, the proverbial Unabomber and all these people that, you know, they'll use words like, oh, you know, he was a survivalist, or as if it's a bad word. But I like these themes, you know, about just making it accessible to people and empowering them and showing them that not necessarily, you know, I mean, it's very interesting that you actually lived outdoors, I mean, consistently for a long period of time. But, you know, that there's a lot more to it than that. Could be just a weather front or the nuclear disaster in Fukushima, you know, should show how something happening clear over in Japan, at least from the maps that I've seen, you know, there's fallout and different kinds of radioactivity that's come to America and other countries. And, you know, certain things you might not be able to do much about, but, again, the more prepared you are, the less fear you're going to have. And of course, most people want to take care of themselves and their families. And, you know, your magazine definitely helps people to do that. We have a break coming up. Our guest is Ed Corcoran with Survivalist Magazine, and the website is survivalist.com. We'll be right back after these.
Is Liberty Works Radio Network enlightening you to the real problems we face in our constitutional republic? Has it helped you to better understand what has to be done to save America from becoming a third world nation? If so, do your part in spreading this voice of truth and enlightenment to your fellow Americans. Join the Liberty Works Radio Network Fellowship. Go to www.libertyworksradionetwork.com for details.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting. America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on Liberty Works Radio Network.
There's a reason education's because the owners of this country don't want that. I'm talking about the real owners now. It's the big, wealthy business interests that control things and make all the important decisions. Forget the politicians. They're irrelevant. The politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They got the judges in their back pockets. And they own all the big media companies, so they control just about all of the news and information you get to hear. They got you by the They spend billions of dollars every year lobbying to get what they want. Well, we know what they want. They want more for themselves and less for everybody else. But I'll tell you what they don't want. They don't want a population of citizens capable of critical thinking. They don't want well-informed, well-educated people capable of critical thinking. They're not interested in that. That doesn't help them. That's against their interest. That's right. You know something? They don't want people who are smart enough to sit around the kitchen table and figure out how badly they're getting f***ed by a system that threw them overboard. They don't want that. You know what they want? They want obedient workers. Obedient workers. People who are just smart enough to run the machines and do the paperwork and just dumb enough to passively accept all these increasingly f***ed jobs with the lower pay, the longer hours, the reduced benefits, the end of overtime, and the vanishing pension that disappears the minute you go to collect it. And now they're coming for your Social Security money. They want your retirement money. They want it back so they can give it to their criminal friends on Wall Street.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on Liberty Works Radio Network. America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
Thomas Jefferson, in his writings, left us many warnings about corrupt bankers and politicians. I place economy among the first and most important virtues, and public debt as the greatest of dangers to be feared. To preserve our independence, we must not let our rulers load us with perpetual debt. We must make our choice between economy and liberty or profusion and servitude. If we can prevent the government from wasting the labors of the people under the pretense of caring for them, they will be happy. What our country needs is a wise and frugal government, which shall restrain men from injuring one another, and which shall leave them otherwise free to regulate their own pursuits of industry and improvement, and shall not take from the mouth of labor the bread it had earned. Jefferson warned that ignorant and free can never be. He was a true defender of the American dream.
The Liberty Revolution is on Liberty Works Radio Network.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
Overcome. Pass it on.
When Marlon Shirley was 5 years old, he was in an accident and lost his foot, but he didn't lose his heart.
When you tackle a challenge that you just cannot even fathom tackling, when you accomplish that, the amount of integrity and the will and the heart that you'll get from that experience is what will set you up for your life.
In less time than it took Marlon Shirley to say that, he can now run 100 meters because today he's the world's fastest amputee. Overcoming. Pass it on.
America. Born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
Now live from coast to coast and around the globe. More real talk, the kind you want, on Liberty Works Radio Network.
Back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Freedom Above Fortune radio show. I am the Agent for Truth, Joe Bannister, your host, agentfortruth.com and freedomabovefortune.com. Our guest is Ed Corcoran. He's the managing editor of Survivalist Magazine. Survivalist.com is the website for the magazine, and their motto is Survive Without Fear. And as Ed was saying before the break, the more knowledge that you can acquire, the less fear you'll have. You probably realize that from your own life experience. So, Ed, you said during the first segment there that you had watched America Freedom to Fascism, and that was instrumental in awakening you to certain other issues. I mean, you were awakening to issues of survival, and but you, the movie definitely struck a chord with you.
Oh yeah, absolutely. That movie is one of the instrumental factors in my becoming aware of my awakening to what's really going on in the world. You know, before I came, I eventually left Arizona. I had to come back to Massachusetts because my father had been diagnosed with terminal cancer, and it wasn't until then that I started to realize what was going on. Before that, you know, like I said earlier in the show, I lived an itinerant lifestyle, more or less, and I was always aware, I was, you know, vaguely aware that something was up, and you know, of course, I didn't trust the government, but I was apolitical, and I just figured if I removed myself from the system, then none of these things would affect me, and I could just let the rest of the crazy world go on, you know, down their path, and you know, you'll find me out in the woods or on the river or, you know, so somewhere out in the wilderness, you know. But I started to realize that first of all, these things will affect you no matter where you are, you know, no matter how remote or, you know, how detached you feel. And secondly, I felt an overwhelming urge to make other people aware. You know, I think it's kind of selfish to just withdraw from society when you can see the clear and present danger, and you know that other people aren't aware of it. I wanted to help other people as well. So, you know, that's been the driving force behind everything that we do as survivalists.
Now, you said that you had lived out in the wilderness, basically around the Flagstaff area. Maybe tell the listeners a little bit more about what that experience was like.
Well, Flagstaff, contrary to what most people think, you know, all of Arizona is not a hot, arid desert. It's not 100 degrees in the shade all the time. Arizona actually has a wide variety of environments and landscapes, and up in Flagstaff, it's up on the Mogollon Plateau, and it's nearly 7,000 feet above sea level, and it's right near the San Francisco Peaks mountain range, and it snows there in the wintertime. It gets cold. They have four seasons there, and there's a lot of forestation, or at least there was when I lived there. The way that development has been going in that town, I don't know anymore, but you know, lots of coniferous trees, lots of wilderness areas, mountains, woods, and everything, and it's just beautiful. It's not what people typically think of when they think of Arizona. I don't know. I could never get through to my friends who would always call me and, you know, in January and say, "Hey, what is it like, 110 degrees out there right now?" And I'm like, no, it's snowing and it's like, you know, 22, you know, and there's people skiing up here. You know, they have a ski area up in Flagstaff. So, yeah,
I'm probably as ignorant as your friends, because I was driving through there a few months ago with my son, and you know, it's quite warm driving through New Mexico and Texas first, you know, then New Mexico, and getting into Arizona, and there was this town, Winona, outside mm-hmm. of Flagstaff, and it was just starting to blizzard as far as snowing. And we were just completely unprepared. We had driven through Flagstaff on the way east, and you know, could see there was a high elevation, but there was no snow whatsoever. So it was really amazing to come back through there and see the snow. And then there was this accident that occurred on the interstate, so we were forced to go north in order to proceed west. And of course, you know the area very well. North is north of Flagstaff is the Grand Canyon, mm-hmm. and it took forever for us to go around the Grand Canyon and finally get to be going in a westerly direction into Nevada, Utah, Nevada. So really amazing transitions, you know, with elevation and weather. So we really got a taste of quite a bit there when we were there. So you, that would be a great place to learn how to, you know, function in the different climates and different elevations and, you know, lots of trees and almost no trees.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I imagine that was Route 40 that was closed.
Yes.
Route 40 gets closed all the time. And this is another thing, for all you preparedness folks out there, When I lived in Flagstaff in the wintertime, it wasn't uncommon for Route 40 to be closed, and the people who were on Route 40 at the time would be stuck there for overnight or, you know, for a day or two. And if you're stuck in your car and you don't have food, water, and, you know, and all the other stuff that you need, I mean, that could turn into a survival situation in itself. If you're in the snow and you know, you can't go anywhere and you're basically stuck in your car, it's a good idea to always have survival supplies in your car, some food, some water, some warm clothes, and don't forget the stuff to keep your mind occupied as well, like a book or a game or something.
And that that illustrates a really great point that I've seen or I've encountered, you know, especially in the kind of the life that I've acquired here, where you know, people look at you strange when you have a particular belief about the federal income tax, and then you then they find out that I used to be a criminal investigator for the IRS. They're like, oh wow. Mm-hmm. But in terms of survival techniques and even caring about survival, the mainstream media seems to ridicule it, and of course there's been some people that have given it a bad name, you know, certain, you know, fugitives, or you know, the media will say that, oh, this is one of those survivalist people. But as you pointed out, with the closure of Interstate 40, that can happen anywhere in the country at any time. It can be some kind of road construction. It could be a road washes out. It could be an accident. You know, I frequently pass through the Sierra Nevada between California and Nevada, and there was like a 22, 25 car pileup when there was a big snow. And, you know, all of a sudden there were just thousands of people that were trying to get over the mountain there, and they just couldn't go. Now, thankfully, there were hotels and motels, but eventually those filled up. And, you know, you better have some food and water because, you know, Starbucks is eventually going to close. and it's good to be prepared. And that's exactly why, you know, Survivalist Magazine is such a great tool that I hope people will take advantage of.
Well, yeah, I'll tell you, Joe, you brought up something that's really important and something that's very focal in my mind and was in the development of the magazine, is that there are so many different facets to survivalism. And one of the things that I wanted to do with the magazine, and I also do a weekly show, and what I want to do is dispel all the myths and the stereotypes about what a survivalist is. There is a negative connotation to the word survivalist. And most people think of some fringe element, tin hat, foil-wearing guy hunkered down in a bunker somewhere with his AK-47s and thousands of rounds of ammunition waiting for the apocalypse to happen, or perhaps praying for the apocalypse, that, or, you know, expecting, wanting it to happen. And nothing could be further from the truth. There are so many different levels. Well, even within the community itself, within the survivalist and prepper community, which there people draw distinctions. You hear people say, "Well, I'm not a survivalist. I'm a prepper." Well, you know what? If you're actively engaging in a lifestyle to where you're doing things that will help sustain your life and help keep you alive, keep body and spirit together, well, guess what? You're a survivalist. And, you know, I don't care where you live. I don't care, you know, if you've got the corporate job and you're living in the suburbs, but you're storing food and water and you're educating yourself and you're learning skills and you're learning how to get by without electricity in case of a grid crash. You're learning how to communicate when all the cell phones and the landlines go down. That's survivalism, folks. That's what it's all about. And we debated a lot over the name of the magazine, you know, because of the weight that the word survivalist, you know, the weight that it carries and the connotations that it has. And I decided that, you know, no, we're going to go with it, survivalist. We're going to put that out there, and it's going to be in Barnes & Noble, and it's going to be in the public view so that people can see that this is really what survivalism is. You know, survivalism isn't just one thing. It's many different things.
Good. I mean, you know, take the bull by the horns. Certainly, the what you're describing that illustrates the effect that the media, you know, treating it in that manner, like it's some kind of a bad word or a bad practice. and people, you know, don't want to be looked at as a weirdo. And so it kind of, it's like just edgy enough that, you know, like you said, not dark or anything like that, but yet edgy enough that people are like, they get comfortable with, oh, okay, well, yeah, there's nothing wrong with being a survivalist, even though Time Magazine might say there is. You know, maybe
exactly.
Time Magazine has been lying to me all these years.
Yeah, you take negative connotations away from it. And also, you know, if you lose your job, that could be a survivalist situation. You know, as far as the ridicule goes, you know, I hear a lot of it when I tell people that I stockpile food. And I think that's the biggest thing where people kind of look at you sideways when you know, you say that, you know, you're storing food and water and other gear, and they think, you know, well, that's just nuts. Well, you know, what if you lost your job? If you had a 6-month supply of food, then that's one less thing that you have to worry about providing for your family. You know, the world doesn't have to come to an end for you to find yourself in a survival situation.
That's really a good point. I never even thought of that. And, you know, certainly it's when you don't have a job that you recognize, wow, I have to, you know, watch my pennies. I got to watch my spending. And if the food bill, you know, is a pretty huge part of it, and especially with inflation the way it's going, you know, you'll be glad that you had put away some food. You may have thought it was going to be for a different purpose, but the food's still going to taste just as good.
Yeah, and the other thing too is even if you don't find yourself in a survival situation, like you mentioned, you know, food prices are just going to keep going up. You know, they're not going to come back down again, and so you can get yourself a little ahead of the curve, you know, by buying food in bulk now while it's still relatively cheap. You know, before, you know, you end up paying like $8 for a loaf of bread, or better yet, learn how to make bread, folks.
Which I have a friend who makes her own bread, and it's just delicious. And, you know, she can choose the ingredients, and it's just fabulous. I mean, if I had my choice, I'd never eat store-bought bread again.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it's about taking control. You know, I mentioned empowerment before, that we want to empower our readers and our listeners. And it's taking control, you know, getting away from genetically modified, you know, frankenfood, and making sure that you're feeding your family, you know, good wholesome food without any chemicals or pesticides or anything like that. I mean, again, you know, that in itself is another benefit of, you know, learning these skills. And I have to mention too that it is about skills. It's about knowledge, and it's good to have the knowledge. But, you know, a bookcase full of survival books or magazines or whatever are going to do you absolutely no good in a survival situation or in an emergency situation if you haven't practiced these skills and you haven't learned how to do these things. It's more than just an intellectual exercise. You really have to start doing these things before you need to do them, because, you know, it's not as simple as it looks in the book or in the magazine.
That's a very good point. Well, we've got a break coming up. Our guest is Ed Corcoran. He's the managing editor of Survivalist Magazine. Their website is survivalist.com. And we'll be right back after these messages. Thanks for joining us.
Liberty Works Radio Network, enlightening you to the real problems we face in our constitutional republic, helping you to better understand what has to be done to save America from becoming a third world nation. Please do your part in spreading this voice of truth and enlightenment to your fellow Americans. Join the Liberty Works Radio Network Fellowship. Go to www.libertyworksradionetwork.com for details. Liberty Works Radio, truth in broadcasting.
Several months ago, I watched as Sarah Palin delivered an inspiring speech to the nation, and I was proud to be a conservative. Today's celebration reminds me of just how blessed I am to be an American. When I was given the opportunity to compete in the Tropicana Speech Contest, I knew that I would write about something dear to me, my freedom. My speech is entitled America's Freedom and is dedicated to my great-grandmother Leth, who recently passed away at the age of 95. What do you think about when I say the word freedom? Some just think about about having rights and being free. You probably think this speech is about freedom, but no. It is about how Americans are slowly losing their freedoms. My parents have taught me to love my country, and I appreciate the blood that was shed for our freedom. From the beaches of Normandy to the sands of Iraq, Americans have paid a great price so we could live free. Sadly, many among us just don't seem to care about the sacrifice it took to build this great nation. It seems as though we are more interested in our own pleasures than preserving our independence and liberties. Truth is, there's many who want to change our way of life, who don't respect the great traditions of America. These are the same people who support the growing attack upon our private property in the name of environmental protection, or the recent talk of limiting free speech with the Fairness Doctrine. Now, there's a twist for you. How can it be fair if the people don't get to choose for themselves? Where is the freedom in that? There are those who continually attempt to shoot down our right to bear arms promised by the Second Amendment. On a personal level, we've seen independence, self-reliance, and individual responsibility replaced with complacency and apathy. Today, many of our schools don't teach the values and patriotic pride that my parents were taught just a few years ago. Yes, a price may have been paid on the battlefield, but the war is far from over. If we don't act now, before it's too late, we won't have any freedoms left, and America will no longer be the America we know and love. John Adams said it best when he wrote, "A constitution of government, once changed from freedom, can never be restored. Liberty once lost is lost forever." I believe we have a patriotic responsibility to stand up to those who seek to destroy these constitutional freedoms. If you believe in the values and principles that made this nation great, and if you enjoy the freedoms we have as Americans, then join me. Join me in standing up to those who seek to destroy these freedoms. Join me in taking back this great nation and protecting our independence and liberties. Because you can make a difference. I can make a difference, and together we will make a difference. Thank you, and God bless.
Husbands, have you ever worried about the risks to your wife's health from the birth control method she's using? Why not learn a natural method that's 99% effective and has no risks to her? You can learn natural family planning in English or Spanish through classes or home study. Search for a class at the Couple to Couple League's website at ccli.org or call 800-745-8252.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
Well, buddy, that's a good question.
Is this worm a boy or a girl? Why are turrets orange?
Actually...
Dad, why don't you have any hair on your head?
How do birds fly?
Why is dirt brown?
Well, why can't I fly?
Why can't I fly?
Are we there yet?
You may not have all the answers, but if they're comfortable coming to you now when the questions are small, they'll come to you with the bigger questions later.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Give your family everything. Give them your time.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting. Now live from coast to coast and around the globe, more real talk, the kind you want, on Liberty Works Radio Network.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Freedom Above Fortune radio show. My name is Joe Bannister, your host, agentfortruth.com and freedomabovefortune.com. Our guest is Ed Corcoran. He's the managing editor of Survivalist Magazine. Their website is survivalist.com, and the magazine's motto is to survive without fear, and they certainly do a good job of that. I'm a subscriber to the magazine, and happen to have issue number 3 in front of me. Ed, you did mention earlier that you have a weekly show, a radio show yourself, so please tell the listeners about that. We're not have any problem with competition here. We just want people to get good information.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The show's called Survivalist Radio with Ed Corcoran, and it's on Wednesday nights. It's on the Prepper Podcast Network every Wednesday night from 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific, until 9:30 Eastern Time and 6:30 Pacific. And you can get there by going to the link is www.survivalist.fm/radio.
Okay. Survivalist.fm/radio.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Wednesday nights.
And so is that where people can listen live or a podcast, or is it pretty much just the podcast downloads at that point, or?
No, it's a live show.
Okay.
It's an honest-to-goodness 21st century radio show. Yeah, it's not pre-recorded. It goes out live. But you can download it. You know, if you miss it, then you can still go and listen to the show or download it. In fact, that's what most of our listeners do, actually, is we get most of our listeners who listen after the show is over or download it.
Well, maybe we'd talk a little bit about the magazine for those that you mentioned earlier that Barnes & Noble, at least as long as they stay in business, carries the magazine. What are some of the outlets that you know of, maybe across the country as best you know, because you're on the East Coast, where people can find the magazine? I imagine they can order it directly from survivalist.com. But yes. As far as being out and about in the stores, where can you pick up a copy?
Well, Barnes & Noble is probably the best place to look first. We're also in Books A Million. We were in Borders, but I think they're officially out of business now. As far as like the smaller retailers go, distributors are kind of a little dicey about telling publishers, like, you know, where they're sending the magazine, because they don't want us to contact them directly.
Mm-hmm.
But the bigger outlets are, yeah, Barnes & Noble. You can't miss if you go to Barnes & Noble looking for the magazine or Books A Million.
Very good. Well, why don't we talk about some of the articles? I mean, maybe the ones that are your favorites or articles that you think would be the most, most important, most useful. I know they all are, because I've got the magazine here in front of me, but any particular articles or skills that have recently been published that you think would be important for people to learn about?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Our last issue, which was issue number 3, it dealt with self-reliance. And self-reliance and homesteading and subjects of that nature, and I think that is extremely important. I mentioned earlier about getting away from genetically modified foods and we're talking about baking your own bread and everything like that. Well, I think it's incredibly important right now, and this is a story that I follow continuously on my show, or this is an issue I should say that I follow continuously on my show, because there are several factors involved. But basically, there's an agenda going on right now that's geared at taking control of our food supply. Now, I know this sounds alarmist and conspiracy theory. You know, it sounds like conspiracy theory and all that, but it's really not. I've been following the bills. There are several food control bills that are masquerading as safety food safety bills that have been going through Congress, and the most recent one was S-510. Which purports to be a safety agency. They want to establish a new agency, and it's all geared towards, they claim, food safety. But what it's really going to do is put small organic farmers out of business, and this is all plays into the UN's Agenda 21. Again, sounds like a conspiracy theory. It's really not. You can go to the UN website and look it up. And this is a step towards globalism. And what they want to do is they want to regulate small farmers out of business. It's all written to cater to big agro, factory farms, Monsanto, ADM, and those types of entities. It's not bad enough that organic farmers are losing their certification left and right because they're getting cross-pollinated from the factory farms of genetically modified organisms, and they lose their certification when it's, you know, when they discover that, you know, it's not truly organic. And then to add insult to injury, these huge corporations are then going after these small farmers and taking them to court, suing them for infringement on their intellectual property rights because they own the patents to all these genetically modified frankenfoods. And so what it's really about is it's about eliminating choice. You know, right now we have a choice. We can buy organic food, or we can go to the supermarket and eat the genetically modified pesticide-laden, herbicide-laden produce that we get at the supermarket, at the standard supermarket, or we can go to an organic farmer and eat locally. Well, that choice is going to be taken away from us pretty soon, because S-510 was snuck into the omnibus budget bill, you know, that was causing all the controversy a little while back. It was one of those earmarks that just gets stuffed into a 2,000-page bill, and it's been passed, and it's basically going to ruin small farming and small farmers. So what, to go one step beyond, you know, you can't even count on having your farmer's market at some point in the future, or having the organic food store to go to. I think it's really important that people start growing their own food. And this is another example of how survivalism comes home. This is how survivalism comes to the suburbs. You know, even if you think you don't have any land, I mean, you can grow in containers. You can grow on your windowsill. You can grow on your front porch. You don't need a huge amount of land to grow your own food. And I think it's going to be very important to at least develop these skills, because, you know, a lot of people, the common joke is that people think that growing your own food is just a matter of just casting your seeds on the ground and letting nature take its course. And, you know, that's not the case. I mean, you're going to fail. You're going to fail your first time. I'm maybe not a complete failure, but it's, growing your own food isn't as easy as it looks. It's not as simple as just planting a few seeds and then just throwing some water on it and walking away and letting the sunshine take care of the rest. So I think it's really important for people to start to learn these skills, learn how to grow your own food, because there's going to be a point where you're not going to have any choice anymore. I'm not predicting doom and gloom and saying that, you know, there's going to be starvation and famine. I'm just saying that simply for the case of the fact that you're not going to be able to buy organic food eventually with the way Agenda 21 is going. Obama signed the Rural Council executive order back in June, which basically is geared towards, you know, getting the federal government involved in rural folks in their lives and going on to farms and telling them how to run things. And basically I see it as a handover to the corporate, you know, conglomeration. And it's even more sinister than that, but you know, I'm not going to go into, they want to get people out of there, basically. And they want the Agenda 21, the globalist plan is to rewild, you know, America and have people live in, assigned human habitation zones and all that. But I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole right now because we're on limited time.
Well, it's you bring up great points, because I think you've experienced your awakening and I've experienced mine, and our listeners have experienced theirs. You find that the rabbit hole is extremely deep, and the what is out there and what they are preparing for us, and you know, you have to stop snickering when we talk about they. There's the United Nations. There's you know, huge corporations, and they have an agenda and they're implementing it. And it's not just some, you know, spooky ethereal entity. You can see the documents and you can see the plans, and it's all there. And the problem is that most people are just shutting their eyes, and they're not wanting to look because they think if they, you know, hold their breath and close their eyes, it's going to go away, and it's not.
Well, so, you mentioned the ubiquitous they, and this is something that brings to mind many conversations I've had with my mother. And you know, I'm trying to wake my mother up, and my mother's from the generation of, you know, well, it must be true. It was on television. They wouldn't be allowed to say it if it wasn't true. And my mother's common response to the things that I tell her about Agenda 21, about the things that are really going on, it's like, oh, they would never let that happen. And I'm like, Mom, who's they? They are the ones who are perpetrating it. You know, she comes from the generation where, you know, my country right or wrong and trust the government and all that. So,
well, and I had a interesting situation where a girl, maybe not a woman, she was in her late 20s, early 30s, and she had her mother with her. And she said, you know, I've been trying to tell my mom for years about these issues, and I felt kind of good about it. I didn't do anything about it, but she watched America Freedom to Fascism, and she watched one of my speeches. And the mother just all of a sudden, just the light went on. And according to the daughter, and, you know, the mother was just quiet, but listening to the daughter describe this, and she said, you know, Joe, it was you. She could tell that you were sincere and that you really were concerned, you know, about your own children and about your neighbors and about your country. And it just, mm-hmm. the light went on. So it's, you know, not to toot my horn, but I mean, just that you are out there with your show, with the magazine, you know, I'm out here doing this. All we can do is try to tell people this is real. We care, and there's a lot of other, you know, forces that don't, and they don't care how you live or if you live at all. So I really, my hat's off to you for, you know, the great material contents in the magazines, and of course your show as well, and just your entire effort. You're doing a great service to your fellow man.
Well, thank you. Thanks for saying that. I certainly hope so, you know, and it's always gratifying when I get emails from people who tell me, oh, my God, I never, you know, thankful so much for this. I wasn't aware of this, or I'd never heard of this before or whatever. So, yeah, it's always great when you see that spark that you were describing, you know, that click that happens when people just suddenly they get it and everything, all the pieces of the puzzle start to fall into place in their minds. Unfortunately, you know, not everybody, you know, you can't get through to everybody. A lot of people have knee-jerk reactions, but I try not to focus on that. I try to focus on the people who are there, that are willing and willing to accept and listen and consider these things. And yeah, it's very important to me.
Well, we're just about out of time, but maybe you could at least tell the listeners how they can subscribe to the magazine if they can't seem to find an outlet nearby.
Sure. You can actually get your first trial issue for free at www.survivalist.com/free. And you just pay $1.88 for the shipping and handling. Unfortunately, the post office is still they're still charging us to ship them. But yeah, you can get the first trial issue for free at that www.survivalist.com/free.
Fantastic. Well, let's see. Any final? Again, I'm just flipping through the magazine. You know, for the listeners. How can you beat that to get a free magazine, complimentary copy, just for the price of shipping? And I can tell you at least this issue number 3 has just some phenomenal, a lot of the advertisers, the products, the food, the equipment, and then, of course, the articles that tell you about skills, about how to acquire the skills and polish your skills. So, Ed, I really appreciate you joining us on the Freedom Above Fortune radio show, and we'll try to have you back at some point. And thank you for educating the public about how to survive.
Thank you, Joe, and thank you for everything that you're doing with your endeavors.
Very good. Well, again, it's survivalist.com and Survivalist Magazine. We want you to abide by their motto, survive without fear.